Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And as promised, here she sits, the great Megyn Kelly, of course, of the Megyn Kelly Show, SiriusXM, YouTube, podcast. You don't really have to introduce Megyn Kelly, but here we are. All right, Megyn, so you've been here in Milwaukee for a couple days, and this is not my first one of these. I know it's not your first one of these. Does it feel different? Or is it just me? It feels different.
It's so strange to be around a bunch of Republicans who are happy.
Yes. Yes. It does. It feels, I thought after the assassination attempt, I thought we would get here and I thought it would be darker feeling and angrier, I guess I should say. I figured people would be all kinds of spicy, but it has been honestly the most pleasant convention I can remember.
You know what, Jesse? It's one of those things. We know, of course, anything could happen and the Republicans should not count their chickens and, you know, they often screw things up. However, right now, everything's going their way. I've never been to a convention like this where it's all going their way. They're ahead in the polls. There's a wave of momentum behind them. The swing states look good. The media has turned on the Democratic nominee. That doesn't happen.
No.
And not to mention the lawfare is falling apart like by the day, including last Monday, just as we came off here. It's just all these things happened. And then on top of it, Trump survived an assassination attempt heroically, to the point where he even had to be praised by some CNNers, not the MSNBCers, but like, it's just, you know, the world is upside down and Republicans are used to being embattled and the scourge of the media and behind in the polls. And even if they're not, the media says they are. And it's just, everything's flipped.
Okay, let's actually focus on that because we're going to come back to Biden, whether or not he politically survives this in a moment. But I was actually talking with a senator last night and he said, Jesse, my biggest concern right now, maybe he was just being paranoid, he said, is overconfidence. He said, every consultant I talk to, other senators, House members, they're talking 55, 56 seats in the Senate, owning the House.
It's like the midterms.
That's fine, right? Yeah, that's exactly right. So I don't want to be Mr. Cynic. I don't want to be Debbie Downer. But if we were to blow this, or it wasn't as big as we want it to be, how would that happen? I don't want to count my chickens, but I don't understand how we could blow it from here, but I'm sure we could. How would we do that?
I mean, the biggest thing I worry about is that Democrat turnout machine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I think this is why Republicans have problems with mail-in balloting. They don't trust the system, and they don't trust the Democrats not to do something with the ballots, and I understand that hesitation. That's the biggest worry I have is just, you know, Trump keeps saying we got to win by a big margin in order for them not to steal it. That's not how I would put it. But I do think he needs to win by a big margin. Either way, it has to go by a big margin. Otherwise, the other side won't accept it. And there's no way the Democrats are winning by a big margin in this particular race. So I don't know. I guess I feel like overconfidence is a problem. It's tomorrow's problem. Right now, we need to enjoy this amazing week, which never comes along. And then tomorrow, we need to get serious about where we stand, because what if Joe Biden doesn't drop out? What if we have another 4 years of somebody who can't put two sentences together but has the nuclear codes? And if he does sub out, there's going to be a new wave of overconfidence, because there was a poll that just dropped today showing Trump's ahead of Kamala by a bigger margin.
10 points last I saw.
Then he's ahead of Biden.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a less inherently likable person. So the Republicans are going to be like, she's toast. But these Dems are very good about just voting Democrat no matter what. They want the abortion. They want their government checks. They want their taxes.
They vote with a purpose.
Yeah. So you're right not to count anything.
Okay, so let's talk about the Biden news. I have a hard time. We've talked about this, you and I, before. I have an ongoing bet with Buck Sexton about this whole thing. Does he drop? Does he not drop? Buck says he stays. I say he goes. Okay, set that aside. I can't see how he stays now that Pelosi's public, now that Schumer's public, now that Schiff is public. These are some Democrat heavy hitters who are not just voicing displeasure. They're doing it publicly. So if Joe Biden stays, how does that look when the other big shots have said he's got to go?
Well, they're not going to allow it. That's what we're seeing. Yeah. You're going to win your bet.
Yeah.
Because this is sort of all part of the extortion campaign where they went to him nicely and they said, you know, it's a nice puppy you have
it'd
there.
Be nice.
Yeah, right? And now we're at the phase of like, I'm going to spend some time with your puppy without you around. Sorry, no one wants to hurt a puppy. Anyway, they're doing all the leaking, right? Yeah. There's a reason Adam Schiff just came out in California with this op-ed saying he's got to go. He never would have done that if Pelosi hadn't blessed it. Mm-hmm. She's his master. And so they're starting to, you know, twist the knife. Like, it's only going to get more painful for you from here, Joe. And by that, we mean Jill. He can leave now with his dignity, or he'll leave later without any of it, without his dignity. And even today, there was a piece in Axios talking about how they're threatening him. And you'll lose your library.
Oh,
boo, effing who. But this is what they're going to do. They're going to try to ruin him if he doesn't leave willingly. And at some point, Jill, who does care about power and legacy and, I guess, money post-presidency, I think will be forced to go to him and say, they're ruining us. We've got to go.
Have you ever considered wearing sunglasses inside? As you know, we were talking about this before
the show.
Anna
Wintour.
Yeah, as of about 24 hours ago, I've decided I'm a sunglasses inside guy. It's just, it's become who I am. Have you ever considered coming around to this?
I mean, not like as a policy, but on a case-by-case basis, I would do it. You know, I occasionally. I do want to avoid the Anna Wintour relationship. She's not a good person. But I have dry eye, and so the bright lights often bother me, and I think, you know, maybe I'll get on board.
Well, they bother you. They don't bother me anymore, Megan, because I have my sunglasses.
Why?
On.
What brought you over? What? Tell me about your evolution.
Well, one, these are a prescription, so I can't see, I can't make out people's faces anymore here. So that's a problem because I'm 42 going on 92. My eyes are apparently going to crap on me.
Already?
So that was a big part of it. I look really good, especially because my hair has fallen out to the point where I have to buzz it. So
I like
I've got to compensate for things right now, Megan. You don't have this problem, okay? These are problems I have that you don't have.
I had to wear the hat because, for the listeners, I'm wearing it. It looks like a MAGA hat, but it really reads, make women female again. because it is like a wind tunnel out there on my set, and it was starting to look like, yeah, I just gotten out of bed after like a hot and sexy night. And that's not really appropriate for daytime news.
No, it's not. Okay, speaking of women, let's finish up with this. Obviously, single women have been a huge problem for Republicans for the longest time, and that problem is getting worse. Married men vote Republican, married women vote Republican. This is just how it goes. Single men vote Republican, but single women by a margin of something like 70 to 30 vote Democrat. That is something the GOP has very ham-fistedly tried to change. Is that something that can change? There's very clearly just a natural inclination of single women to go left. I can't explain it, but maybe you can.
I don't know that they're going to change that. I think single women are very worried about abortion, and the Republicans are not their party on that, even by saying it's a state issue, which is better than we want to ban it in all 50 states. But I think they're naturally worried more about having their right to get an abortion. That's how they would phrase it. And I also think that in some ways, it's not their fault, because I have a daughter. I see what schools do to the young girls. Like, they really try to play on their empathy to, start indoctrinating them on their left-wing causes. Mm-hmm. If you're a good person, if you're a kind and empathetic person, this is how you will
Don't
feel
you
about this
be
issue.
Nice?
Right? Trans women are women, sweetheart. That's what the nice people would say and accept. It starts very young, and so I think it takes a while for the brainwashing to wear off on them, because eventually they do get married and they have babies and they see ultrasounds and they start to look at it differently. Mm-hmm. I think it's a long evolution, but I think if I were running Republican politics, I would not say put all your effort into young single women.
Yeah, that's probably a lost cause. She's Megyn Kelly. You know where to watch Megyn Kelly. Listen to Megyn Kelly, SiriusXM, of course, which is amazing. YouTube, podcast. Megyn, I appreciate you very much. Even
great
if you're not wearing
you.
Sunglasses, I appreciate
next
you.
Time, next time. Look next forward time. To it.
Thank you.
You look great.
Megyn Kelly, everyone. All right. So we still have, obviously, a ton to get to. It's our last night here at the convention. But for now, before we get to any of that, I want to talk to you about signing a pledge. Now, that sounds weird, doesn't it? Sign a pledge. What does that mean? Well, when I talk about IFCJ, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, I want you to understand that the people who are living under rocket attack, terrorist attack, murder, rape, and just all that horror that they're going through still every day. It's not in the news every day, but they're going through it every day. They think, if you talk to people over there, they think America doesn't give a crap. Because of our media, because of how horrible our media is. So the reason you sign a pledge is they're going to turn it in. One big pledge, all these signatures, they're going to go over there and present it to Netanyahu and present it to them and let them know, hey, a lot of people care. A lot of people care. A lot of people are praying for you. You're not praying for them? Go to supportifcj.org and sign the pledge. That's all they're asking for. They're not asking for money, and that's all they're asking for is just signing a pledge. Supportifcj.org, if you would. All right? We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Do not forget, you can email the show. We'll be right back on Monday. I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I'm traveling from this convention, but no, I'll be back on Monday. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Now let's get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, and I should update you. The Biden campaign has come out since this breaking news that he's planning on stepping down. Some Biden people have come out and said that's not true at all. He's not stepping down. Look, we're not going to know. Again, like we talked about many times, you're not in until you decide you're in, and you're not out until you decide you're out. It's just, let's wait and see. But I tend to believe the story. Anyway, let's do some Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Dear Jesse, Machine Gun Kelly, why is early voting bad? All right, I'm going to explain this because this would be a good way for you to explain to Norm and Norma, because it can get confusing. Why would you care? Why is early voting bad? All right, here it is. There's a thing called chain of custody. You've probably, if you watch legal shows, cop shows, you've probably heard this phrase, chain of custody. So evidence, you know, I raid a drug dealer's house and I pick up the cocaine. Okay, so it goes from me, from my possession. I have to turn it into an evidence locker. It has to be signed into the evidence locker. So that's an ironclad chain of custody. So there's a time, a date where you signed it in. And then it leaves, and that has to be signed out at a time and date. Who signed it out? This proper ID, chain of custody. Why is that so important? Because they understand important things moving to and fro tend to disappear. Things tend to happen. I'll make it even simpler than that. I've used this example before. Let's say we live in a little 100-person village, okay? And in this village, we all get to vote. We get to vote. We're voting on the new chief. Who's the chief in our village? And so there are two scenarios. In the first scenario, there's a voting hut. There's one specific hut. You show up on election day. You walk in there. You show your ID, proving yourself to be a citizen of that village, and you vote and drop your thing in. You put your little piece of paper in there. Okay, that's one way. On that day, at the end of the day, they add up all the votes. Winner is the chief. That's one way. Second way is this. Oh, sure, there's a voting hut. And on election day, you can wait and you can go vote in the voting hut, and a lot of people do. But also, they've mailed these ballots out to a bunch of different people. And if you want, you can fill out your ballot, and then it doesn't go to the voting hut, the ballot. Someone will come by and he's in charge of the mail of the village, and he's going to grab your ballot from you. And then he's going to take that ballot into a separate hut where they store the mail for a while. And then it gets sorted in there. And then eventually it'll be moved from that hut into another hut, and they're going to get things organized. And then eventually from that hut, it'll make its way down to the voting hut. Now, which of the two ways is more safe and secure? Which of the two ways is more, I don't know, appetizing for a cheater? Or, look, beyond absolute malfeasance, which of the two ways is right for just an accident? It doesn't have to be a fraud. What if the mail guy who shows up at your house and grabs your ballot and he's walking to the other hut and a big gust of wind comes by and there goes your ballot. It floats off and the ballot's off and it floats into the river and now your vote doesn't count. There is a reason nation after nation after nation has banned mail-in voting, early voting, any form of electronic voting. And they've gone paper ballots, same day voting, counting of the same day. That is why early voting is bad. Now, if it's available to you, do it. Look, vote. I don't care how you vote. Vote. But in general, you don't want that in a society, all right? Jesse, do you think the Republican National Convention seems a little dated? I can't tell if they're running a Miss America pageant or the Oscars. I think newer Republican voters would rather see something with the excitement of a cage match or, for that matter, a Trump rally. The old guard prefers pomp and ceremony. Well, they'll vote Republican anyway. Thanks for all you do. His name is Michael. Okay, does it feel dated? Look, there are some things that are a tradition, and they continue on as a tradition, whether or not they make total sense. Now, I need to explain that these conventions, they've been going on for as long as anyone can remember. Very similar to, you know what? Here's a good example. Weddings. The American wedding tradition. What happens normally? I realize there are people do it differently, but normally what happens? You find yourself a dime, or you find yourself a dude, and you decide you're going to get married and live happily ever after, and you're going to go smoochy smooch, and life is good, and that's good. I hope you do that. Wonderful. Good for you. And you decide you're going to get married, and then you do what? You send out invitations to everybody all across the country, friends, family, wherever you go. And everyone has to then take a few days off of work and buy a plane ticket, a hotel. By the time you're done, if you're flying a family of four to somebody's wedding, that's a $3,000, $4,000 affair, most likely, by the time you're done eating, flying, staying. That's crazy. But that is the American tradition. And traditions are very, very, very powerful things. And, well, I'm not a tradition fan, traditions have their place. It's always been done this way. Members of the Republican Party, delegates, people from all across the country, they come together for a gigantic event. And I will tell you, look, I'm here. You're not here, but I'm here. I will tell you, there's value in coming together. There is value in coming together. What have I told you before? That you, especially if you're an introvert, you need to avoid the temptation. I'm pointing fingers at me. I'm an introvert. I need to avoid the temptation when I'm not working of just going home, keeping to myself, watching my documentary, read a good book. It's very tempting, and it's very easy today in this era of the cell phone, the smartphone, social media. And I've told you, you need to get out there and force yourself into groups of like-minded people. There's value in community. There's value. Look, there's value in a pep rally. There is. So does it feel dated? Would I like a cage match? I understand Dana White speaking tonight. Yes, of course, feels dated, but at the same time, it feels traditional, and I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, all right? All right. But look, there are bad things, like living with pain every day. That's a bad thing. That's not something you should do. And here's what we do. We either tough it out. When we have this daily pain, back pain, neck pain, whatever it is, we either tough it out or we start taking things that are harmful to us just because we don't want to live with that. I don't want to live. My foot hurts all the time, but my back, I can't, my leg. Instead, why don't you seek out something natural, drug-free? That's what Relief Factor is. It's natural. It's drug-free. Wouldn't it be nice to wake up tomorrow morning pain-free? Relief Factor. You take it for 3 weeks, and you see what happens. Call them. All I'm asking, 3 weeks. If it doesn't work, stop. You'll be ordering more, I guarantee it. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF, or you can go to relieffactor.com. don't live with pain every single day. All right? All right, let's talk about Biden, the courts, an inside job, and the assassination attempt, and more. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Did you hear the WW2 vet who spoke last night at the convention? I'm not big on speeches. I'll be honest with you. It's just you and me talking here. I haven't seen a single speech in person, and I'm not going to either. I'll watch it on TV. I'm going to go get some chicken wings. I'm going to go. I can't hear the speech. Everyone's talking and everything. So, but I did watch this one last night, and man alive, this was freaking awesome.
People say people is an idea. America is an idea. But I believe America is much more than that. America is our home. You know, and I was fighting in Europe. And I came back home. I kissed the ground, thanking God that I'm back home in my country. And where I come from, when somebody comes for me or my home, you dig in your boots in the ground and never look back. That's the attitude that saved the free world. And President Trump, back in Commander-in-Chief, I would go back to re-enlist today, and I would storm whatever beach my country needs me to fight again.
Tell me you're not ready to stand up and cheer right now. It was friggin' awesome. And J.D. Vance was awesome last night. J.D. Vance was also very, very aimed in one direction last night. Let's talk a little. Let's not set aside the pom-poms for a minute and talk a little political strategy. I don't know if you watched the speech, but it was heavily, heavily, heavily. When it was about J.D., he was introducing himself to a lot of people who don't know him. Look, remember, you're a nerd. I'm a nerd. We're political nerds. We know who these people are. Norm and Norma don't. So he was introducing himself, introduced his mom, who was overcome addiction and things like that. That's wonderful. But he also was talking. Notice how many times he mentioned Pennsylvania, Rust Belt, manufacturing, Michigan. I think he said those words about 9,000 times last night. That is the plan for J.D. Vance. I bet you he might as well buy a second home in Pennsylvania, a third home in Michigan, and maybe even a fourth home in Wisconsin, because until July, he's going to reside permanently in those states. J.D. Vance is the weapon they're going to aim at Rust Belt voters, Rust Belt swing voters who feel disenfranchised. They feel like their country has screwed them over repeatedly, and he was speaking to the working man last night. And as you know, that is what I love. That's who I love. And I love how much the communists hated it. This was on MSNBC.
He started talking about what America is. He said, America is not just an idea. It is a group of people with a shared history and a common future. The thing about America is that it's not a group of people with shared history. In fact, I think a lot of people would argue it's quite the opposite. It's a lot of people with different histories, different heritages.
His in-laws don't share the history.
Exactly. And that.
Notice, just pause for a moment. Notice how much they despise the very idea that we have a culture here. We have a history. We have a culture. Lose this stupid melting pot talking point that's a bunch of crap. We have a history in a culture. Our culture in this country believes in freedom. Our culture believes in family, goodness. We believe the government should be small and out of our lives. That is American culture. It's not some meaningless thing that just kind of floats with any way the wind blows. That's what the communists want you to believe. Is it unique to anyone's skin color? No, it's not. Is it unique to anyone's heritage as far as what country they come from or race? No, it's not. It's not even really unique to anyone's religion, although America was founded by Christians. That's not debatable, and it is a Christian history. Of course it is. But it is a country that has a culture. It is unique. It is wonderful. And the communist has done wonders watering down that concept in the minds of Americans. Anyway, I'll let this hag continue.
Piece of it. A paragraph, at least, about this plot in eastern Kentucky where his six generations of his family are buried. And his hope is that his wife and he are eventually laid to rest there and their kids follow them. And I sort of understand the idea of sharing the burial plot, but it also is, it reveals someone who believes that the history that the family should inherit, and indeed the history that should be determinative in the story of the Vance family, is the history of the Eastern Kentucky Vances, and not the Vances from San Diego, which is where his wife is from and where her Indian parents are from. But in America, it doesn't always have to be the white male lineage that trumps, that defines the family.
You can't possibly treat these people with enough disdain. They disdain you. They hate you. They hate every single part of your country, your culture, your history, and your values. And no, you don't have an obligation to live peacefully with them. These people should be run out of the circles of power everywhere they are found, because they are a poisonous cancer on this country. Remember that. Jesse, in your opinion, how many people would have had to be in on this if it was an inside job? Local cops too, so on and so forth. Okay, so I guess we're doing hypotheticals. What if this was an inside job? You know, no one's ruled out anything. At least I haven't ruled out anything. Who knows? Who knows? We may never know. Well, look, it would only really take one or two. It wouldn't take that many. It would take somebody who's in charge of this, in charge of that. You assign someone here when he probably should be here, but you're in charge. It wouldn't take that many as far as the situation on the ground. Now, if we're going to do this inside job thing, he was a train operative, and who knows? I mean, maybe he was. Who knows? Let's put it on Iran, because that's the one that makes us feel better than it being our own government. So what if Iran wanted to do it? Well, on the day of, you would only need a few. Like I said, one, two, three. You could make it happen if you had them in the right places. But it would take a lot more than that leading up to it. Planning, preparation, equipment. These things take time. Takes a lot of time. Jesse, how come you get to make up your own commercials? How come you are allowed to do that? You know, I have this question a lot from a lot of people who are in radio.
people who do what I do, people who listen, they ask me, how do you get away with this? How do you get away with saying this? How do you get away with doing your commercials this way? How do you get away with, well, whoever said you couldn't? Here's what happens whenever you do a job, whatever your job is, whether you're in construction or a lawyer or whatever you do, you feel like you're supposed to do it the way everyone else does it. But you don't have to. That's an unspoken thing. That's, you don't have to. Why would I do it that way? And look, as you know, this is an advertiser-supported show. I don't charge to listen. I don't charge to download the podcast. And Lord willing, I can't promise this, but Lord willing, it will never happen. I want it to always be free. But it's not a charity. It's a business. So it's advertiser-supported. And so if you're going to read ads on a show, it's not like people tune in for the ads, but if you're going to read ads on the show, you in the very least could make an effort, one, to treat your advertising partners the way they should be treated, that's one, and two, make an effort to at least make it a little bit entertaining. That's how I've always felt. I don't understand why you feel like you have to do some monotone or rate it off the thing. I think that's freaking brutal. And to be honest, it's unfair to advertising partners. It is. Whether you buy something or choose to patronize one of these advertising partners of the show, that's fine. It's your business. I don't want you to ever do anything that doesn't fit for you or you don't like or doesn't work for you. I would never say that. But they are the reason the show goes. You know, it doesn't happen without them. When I talk to you about Done For You Real Estate's actually a really great example. Done For You Real Estate's a great example. What do? Done For You Real Estate helps normal people invest in real estate. They'll find the homes for you. They'll get you the financing, the closing, the rental costs, the rental process. They do all this stuff for you. And Done For You Real Estate has such a place in people's hearts. They've been spoken about at people's funerals because a father, I believe it was 10 homes he eventually got from Done For You Real Estate, passed that down to his kids. That's what they do. Now, if that doesn't interest you, fine. My goodness, don't call them. But if you do, these are my friends. And they're wonderful people. And they might just make your life better. This is for normal people to begin investing in real estate, which is a really smart thing given what we see from the dollar and the markets and everything else. Go to doneforyoujesse.com if that interests you, all right? Doneforyoujesse.com and tell them I said hi. I love those guys. Brianna Morello, host of the Brianna Morello Show, joins us next.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, and joining me now, a very special guest, longtime friend of mine who has her own show now, as I always assumed she would, Brianna Morello, host of the Brianna Morello Show. It's on Rumble. It's on Twitter. Highly recommended. Okay, first, why in the world would you go? Because I get these emails a lot from people of, hey, Jesse, I want to start trying radio, or I want to start trying TV. I want to start doing this. Why would you do it? Why?
Yeah, it sounds crazy, doesn't it? But I'm a little crazy, and I also really enjoy not being censored. So many of my stories would get rejected when I'd pitch them during editorial calls when I worked in the corporate world, and I was so upset and so heartbroken over it. And so now nothing gets rejected because it's just me. And that's the best part in all of this, right? I'm able to now report on things honestly and fairly and cover things that they don't want to talk about, like J6, like the DOJ lying to the American people, lying to the juries that are all surrounding J6, the judges. And it's great. You know, and I always joke about this, but I'm always pissing off the right people. That's the goal of every day. And so that's what we do on my show.
That's a very good goal to have. Okay, let's talk about the DOJ, because of all the things they've taken over, that might be the most frightening. Well, once you take over the legal system, once they can turn you, me, the poor January Sixers into enemies of the state, criminals, then they have the power to do whatever they want to us, throw you in a cage, kill you. They can do whatever they want to you. And this is one of those things that feels daunting, because Trump was in there for 4 years, had two AGs, and they both sucked. Neither of them drained that swamp. Can that be done, or is it there and we can't move it?
I think it can be done. So when President Trump wins back the White House, I am confident that he has great people around him, people like Jeff Clark, who was over at the DOJ. He was one of the rising stars that really came up towards all of the election fraud questions, and now he's being prosecuted because they are hoping to turn Jeff Clark against the president. But Jeff Clark, like I've spoken to him before, says that you know, President Trump didn't do anything wrong and there's no crimes that were being committed, but they've indicted him in Fulton County. People like that, people like Mike Davis, I'm pretty sure that they're going to be key players in all of this and purging out the wrong people, the people who should not be there in the first place. So I'm optimistic from that sense. Now, what's so worrisome, though, is we've watched, everyone keeps saying, oh, just let the system play it out, let the system, we're watching the DOJ become weaponized, and everyone just thought it was okay just to continue to sit back and watch. We have Republican attorney generals who have sat back and watched as other attorney generals have gone after President Trump just because they don't like him, manipulating laws, doing all of these like legal gymnastics to make sure that they could criminally prosecute him. And they never stepped in on any of this. Now we're watching the Missouri AG kind of step up and kind of challenge a lot of this. Mm-hmm. But it shouldn't have taken this much time. We should have jumped in on this sooner. And that's the part that's so concerning. They've allowed it to play out for so long when they shouldn't have waited this long.
Well, they allowed it to happen to the January 6th political prisoners. And but look, these people matter, too. It frustrated me to no end. And I know you've been speaking about this to your credit for a long time as well, that these people, their lives, their livelihoods, their freedom matters, too. And you couldn't get enough people to care until it was Trump under the gun. These frigging poor people from January 6th. Yeah. They have been assaulted and abused by their government in horrible ways and really forgotten by most of the GOP.
Yes, Jesse, that's the most outrageous part in all of this. Now, I know the name Stuart Rhodes has a very negative image in the media, but he is somebody who ran the Oath Keepers and has never been accused of a violent crime. The Oath Keepers, because I went to go dig into them, I've never seen anything regarding like a video of them committing a violent act or anything of that nature. So I was a little down the middle when I first started talking to these individuals. I got on the phone with Stuart Rhodes, who was in the D.C. gulag, and he said, and remind you, he's actually Ivy League educated. He was a criminal defense attorney as well. He said, what they're doing to me is the blueprint for what they want to do to President Trump. And I thought at first it sounded like a little dramatic, and then it actually happens. And they did lay out the groundwork against Stuart Rhodes, and then they got 18 years in prison because of it.
Yeah.
Egregious, disgusting. I've been covering his trial. They've committed perjury to the DOJ. They withheld evidence from his criminal defense attorneys. They have also just recently we've come about going through an email that both the DOJ and his attorneys did receive. But the judge in that case, Judge Mehta, an Obama-appointed judge, actually said that this was not going to be seen in front of the jury. The email specifically from the DOJ saying that there was no evidence linking Stuart Rhodes to before J6 telling the Oath Keepers to go into the Capitol. They went through his signal messages, his emails, everything, and they had no evidence of this. And Jesse, that email was withheld from the jury. And then the most egregious part in all of this, too, is that when the FBI agents were put on the stand during the trial, they openly admitted, yes, we didn't have any evidence showing that Stuart Rhodes ever planned any of this out in advance. So what did they do? Well, they got an Oath Keeper who was under the same amount of pressure to go on the stand and to say that, well, we didn't say it. It was just kind of assumed that we're going into the Capitol. And because of that, he is now sitting in prison for 18 years until someone intervenes in this.
18 years.
Yeah.
18. I mean, it's essentially it's your adult life. It's gone. It just disappears. Anyway, again, we're speaking with Brianna Morello, host of the Brianna Morello Show. All right. So it broke an hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
This story from Mark Halperin saying Joe Biden's out. He's writing his farewell speech. He's gone. Since then, the White House has come out and said, no, this is ridiculous. It's a bad story. It's not true at all. Except the story was multiple sources. Who knows? Where do you fall in all this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obvious he's not going to be able to make it to November. I think that they have created this pressure campaign, and then they've done it successfully at this point. We're watching all these big name Democrats throw their names out there and say he's got to take his name off the ballot in November. So I think that he's going to bend to the pressure eventually. But then again, who's going to replace him? I mean, they know they're going to lose at this point. There's no way that they could put somebody else in there. Maybe Michelle Obama at this point. But again, I think everyone else, any other candidate, would not be inspirational for folks to go out and vote for. I think the messaging is clear. If we kind of just stay, you know, a little down the middle on these issues, and I know people don't like hearing us, it's the Rhino comments, but ultimately we've got to win over these moderate voters. And I think the best way to do that is just keeping at pace of what we're doing now. You know, President Trump is going to speak tonight, and I think that his speech is going to be very, it's going to try to unify the country at this point. And I think that's the best way to go about it right now. I know it sounds crazy. I probably wouldn't have told you that a couple of months ago, but I think this is actually the way to go.
That's where I'm at. Very moderate and very down the middle, as you know. That's how I fall on.
Yeah, that's why I've always told people before I know. The Jesse Kelly.
Brianna Morello, thank you so much. I appreciate you. I'm very proud of you and your success. I knew you would make it. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Jesse. I appreciate you.
All right. So we still have an hour left. And as you heard earlier, there's a lot of talk that it's going to be Dome. That it might end up being Dome. Joe Biden might endorse her. He might not. He might even drop out. We don't know, but what if it is? At some point next hour, I think like 20 minutes from now, we have a guy who wrote a book on Dome. It's worth sticking around for it. And other than that, it's just us. It's just you and me. It's just Ask Dr. Jesse time, and we're going to have a good time, all right? Now, before we get to that, I want to talk to you about your sleep. We neglect our sleep. We neglect our sleep because we neglect our bedding, our pillows, our mattress toppers. We neglect the things on our bed. We get one, we get something that's suitable, and we keep it forever. You know that MyPillow was there to change all that? And let's remember, speaking of putting our money where our morals are, this is the company that's lost a fortune out there campaigning on your behalf, on my behalf. You know a queen-size premium MyPillow is $19.98 right now? Did you know that? You want a new mattress topper? As low as $69.98. It's like getting a new mattress. It changes your life. Your bed just holds you. It's glorious. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Special Square and use the promo code Jesse. Go take advantage of all this. Or you can call them if you'd like. 800-845-0544. We will be back with Ask Dr. Jesse. Hang on.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.